This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Let's get cracking this hour with eggs. And who knew we were in the middle of a crisis about eggs? Turns out the egg timer is running out on a ballot initiative passed in 2016 here in the Commonwealth. As of 1st of January, it says you can no longer sell eggs here from hens that have less than 1.5 square feet of floor in their cages. Do you remember voting yes on that? Well, the rest of the country uses a different standard, and 90% of our eggs come from the rest of the country, according to the New England Brown Egg Council. So unless the legislature makes a change, we are in for a scramble. Now, we will take your calls on this. If egg prices skyrocket, will it hit your personal bottom line? Are eggs a staple in your household? And what will you do if supply suddenly drops off a cliff? 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also tweet us at Radio Boston. Joining us first, Bill Bell, General Manager of the New England Brown Egg Council. Bill, welcome.
Thank you. And thank you, Tiziana, for that very concise but comprehensive introduction to the subject.
Thanks. I appreciate that. So let's talk about that. Massachusetts was cutting edge when we passed this referendum back in 2016. But since then, the industry has gone in a different route than this 1.5 square feet, right?
That's correct. And it's not because the industry wanted to be difficult. It's because in 2017, after the referendum was passed, the egg industry nationally and the Humane Society of the United States spent the best part of 2017 both with scientific advisory councils saying, okay, the handwriting's on the wall, the legal deadlines have been set. Now, how do we precisely ensure both the best production-wise housing for the hens and the best hens for hens in terms of hen welfare? And that's when we arrived at a slightly different standard, which all the other states, plus the entire private sector, the McDonald's and the Dunkin' Donuts and the restaurant chains all over the country have adopted. And we had hoped by this time that Massachusetts would make what is a pretty modest catch-up amendment.
And that is basically, Bill, as I understand it, it's a foot instead of 1.5, but there's more vertical space and there's this vertical stacking system. Is that correct?
That's correct, because the hen welfare people noted, you know, birds like to fly up and they like to roost in trees. And it also added what they call hen enhancements, which are scratching areas for hens, little perches for hens, and nesting areas for hens, none of which was in the original Massachusetts language.
So I have to tell you, I find that adorable, the concept of hen enhancements. I love animals. That's a lovely thought. I know that this is a serious business, though. And so I want to ask you, if the rest of the industry made a move towards the direction Massachusetts was trying to push for, and we are out of sync of it, how do we find ourselves in a situation, Bill, where in 2 weeks we could, pun absolutely intended, be scrambling to get enough eggs here in the state?
I guess I have to say the wheels of government grind exceedingly slowly as well as exceedingly fine. And we thought we had this amendment back in 2019. And then at the last moment, there were some objections from a legislator, which have since been dealt with. And then we had COVID, and your good legislators were distracted, to put it mildly. We all were distracted. And but back in June, the Massachusetts State Senate passed the necessary amendment. And then early this fall, the House of Representatives did. And it's unfortunate that there's this minor difference between the two that has yet to be resolved.
So Governor Baker's pressuring the state legislature to amend it in time for January 1st. What are you hearing? Is the legislature responding? And I understand that given they're out of formal session, which means that anything that happens now has to be by unanimous vote. One person can scuttle things. So what are you hearing?
It all rests now with the Committee of Conference, which is, of course, traditional when there's different versions in the two bodies. And those six individuals, and all of them, have met with members of our industry, including myself, and have said, yes, we want to get this resolved. And the difference, ironically, has absolutely nothing to do with eggs. It has to do with a provision that the House added concerning the time limit or the time deadline for pork products.
So you've got this other issue in the mix. I want to ask you a couple of more questions here. State Senator Becca Rausch told State House News Service, quote, "I don't want Massachusetts families to have to pay upward of $5 per dozen of eggs come January 1st, end quote. $5 is a lot. Realistically, is that what we're looking at? Could we get to the point? Is that hyperbole? And how short could we be? What percentage of eggs that are on our shelves now realistically might not be there, let's say, come January 7th?
It all depends on how quickly the legislature can move in these 2.5 weeks that are left. Because if they fix this on December 30th, you can't just have a huge farmer's market on the Boston Common and everybody drives in and picks up their eggs there. It goes through supermarkets throughout the states and and the cartons have to be correct. The pricing has to be correct in the computers. There's a supply chain issue, which is not hugely difficult, but it takes more than a week to get that established correctly.
So, Bill, last question for you. I mean, the Massachusetts voters voted on this. They wanted 1.5 square feet of floor space. Is it your assertion that if the Commonwealth makes this change and comes into line with where the industry standard is now, that we will be in keeping with the will of the people?
Absolutely. And I can say this, if you were to go back and look at the material that was distributed by the Secretary of State's office to advise voters, and they have like these one-page crib sheets on all the ballot questions, and there was no mention of 1.5 versus 1.0. It was referenced to the hens being able to move about comfortably. And so, yes, in the details of the law, it did say 1.5. But in as much as everybody involved, particularly the humane organizations, agree that the 1.0, along with the vertical space that's being provided, is an improvement, then I think Massachusetts voters can be absolutely satisfied that the law, terms of the law as intended when they voted, have been met.
All right. That is Bill Bell, General Manager at the New England Brown Egg Council. Bill, thanks for the time.
You're welcome.
So joining us now for this conversation, John Pregantis, the owner and chef at Party Favors, which is a bakery and party supply store in Brookline. Welcome, John.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
John, how many eggs do you use in a week for your business?
We use a lot of eggs. We go through 8 cases, which is like 30 dozen in a case. So do the math, and it's like 240 dozen maybe on average.
I appreciate you doing that math. And how much does that cost you right now?
Well, that's right now we're paying, the last invoice was $1.92 a dozen. And then if you go back a few invoices back in October, we were paying $1.10 a dozen.
So prices had already started to increase.
They're starting to go up like 50, 60% already.
And how worried are you about this situation with the law changing on January 1st?
Well, it's going to affect the cost, of course. So then what do we do then? We have to, I hate to raise prices, but how do you avoid it, you know? If the eggs are going up, and we use a lot of eggs and everything, just the cakes and the mousse and everything, then you have to pass it on, which I hate to do, but we have no choice.
Do you feel like that could really hit your bottom line? Do you have the margins where you can afford to pass on costs like that?
We don't have that kind of margin, no. Especially nowadays with lack of supply chain and not having employees, not having to find product. I mean, it's hard to get at things, and it's a tough time right now.
And
for everybody,
are you a part of any business association or group of people trying to get the legislature to make this change before January 1st?
Say it again. I'm sorry, couldn't you?
I'm sorry. Are you trying to reach the legislature? Are there business associations representing your industry that are trying to get the legislature to make this change?
I'm going to look into that because this is I didn't realize it was happening in January. I probably actually voted for it in 2016. I'm one of those people probably that voted for it and without realizing the impact it would do because it's great for the animals, but the bottom line is like, then what did we do, So it's like, I think we have to do something as a business community to talk to the legislature and do something.
And I do want to note, we reached out to a wide, too many to list, range of parties in an attempt to put this segment together today, and most did not want to go on record and have the conversation. So how do your customers support you right now, and what is your message to your customers if we face a possibility here, John, that your prices are going to have to go up or that you literally won't have the eggs you need to produce your products?
It's going to, our customer base is they're a wonderful community. We've been here for 30 years, so we've done people's wedding cakes 30 years ago, done their bar mitzvah cakes 15 years ago, and now we're doing their daughters, their wedding cakes for their kids. So we have a long, very good following with our customers, and if we have to pass it on, there's nothing we can do about it,
Yep.
And we've tried not to increase as much as possible through the whole, through the years here, too. And during COVID and everything, it's just been really tough.
All right, that is John Pregantis, the owner and chef at Party Favors, a bakery and party supply store in Brookline. John, good luck. Thanks for talking with us.
Thank you so much.